Welcome to the All Souls Forum here on KKFI. Today we're going to hear Catherine Footer from the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. She's working on developing a plan for a cultural district around the neighborhood of where the Nelson Atkins Museum is. We're going to hear all about that on today's All Souls Forum. It was recorded on Sunday, February 1st, 2015, at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church in Kansas City, Missouri. We'll have our usual format today. We'll hear from Ms. Footer and then take a short break and have a question and answer session from the audience. So let's go to the introduction of Ms. Footer. We're going to hear all about the Kansas City Cultural District today, All Souls Forum.
Welcome to the forum at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church. One of the things that's of a lot of interest to us at All Souls because of our location is the plan for a cultural district that includes this broader area. So today we have Catherine Footer from the Nelson Atkins Museum. She is the Ullman Senior Curator of Architecture, Design, and Decorative Arts for the museum. So she'll be talking, and then we'll have a time for Q&A.
Good morning, and thank you for having me here. And I'm sorry if I'm a little bit more nasal than usual, getting over a cold. I don't know if many of you have seen this morning's newspaper. No, some have. Okay, good. Well, the editorial, one of the editorials is an intriguing plan to grow the lure of art in city's heart. And it's all about this project. So I couldn't be more timely talking about this today. So I'm just one of a number of people at the museum and in the community who are working on this project. And if I can accomplish one thing this morning and today, it's that I galvanize you to participate, because this is the opportune moment to get different voices heard and different voices into the mix to think about what our community can look like into the future. This is not a plan or an ideas that are new. These started actually with William Rockhill Nelson. Even when the Nelson Atkins was built in the 1930s, there was discussion of a district, an area around a museum. In 1962, there actually was a plan by the published by the John Hancock Company that talked about, quote, a cultural arts district, which named all many of the same players who are in discussions today. So this is not a new concept. This is also a concept that has a timeliness to it. When we look at the mayor's task force for the arts, when we look at the big five ideas, all these things, and we look at all the growth of the arts in our community, if the Nelson Atkins or our community arts communities all sat on their hands for 5 years, we would miss the boat. We have to talk about this now. We would have been probably too early 5 years ago. Some of these ideas will go away. Some of these will blossom and come into fruition. And this is also concepts for our future. This is a future that could be 25 years from now, maybe even 50 years from now. It's not tomorrow morning. And I think that's very important to think about. So please read. I have three more copies, and I think Mr. Mullins has another copy that I gave him, if you want to read the editorial afterwards. But it basically says, come, bring your ideas, and participate, and think about what the future could be. So let me give you a little bit of background. Julian Zugasagoitia, who's the director and CEO of the Nelson Atkins, came to the museum about, I guess it's almost 4.5 years ago. And one of the things is he started to talk to his neighbors who were heads of companies and libraries and universities and arts organizations, and what were sort of the programs that we were all doing together, and we were supporting each other in sort of a 1 mile radius or maybe even 2 mile radius of the museum. What were those programs? And then he found out that there were actually some physical impasses. The museum will continue, and all our partners around here will continue to collaborate on programming. That is a given. This is looking at what could improve the infrastructure. This could improve bicycle paths, walking paths. I will admit I am a New Yorker. I walk everywhere in New York. I do not give 2 seconds of thought for walking 20 blocks. I get in my car. This morning I went to the museum and I thought, I'm going to drive over to All Souls. And I thought, are you crazy? That's two blocks away, maybe even a block and a half. You used to walk from One Main, and I thought, yeah, the weather's awful. So what? I brought my umbrella. So that kind of idea that you can walk and bicycle quickly to things that are really quite, from the museum to UMKC to the rep, is really a pretty short walk in New York terms. In Kansas City terms, we probably all get in our cars. So the other thing I'd like to say is these are all concepts that I am going to show you. These are not plans. These are not design documents. These are starting points. And that's where I get back to the point of galvanizing you to participate. Because this is, you're perfectly timed that next weekend, actually next Thursday evening, all day Friday, and most of Saturday, they will be a public charrette. So if you feel strongly about something, some of you I know have already participated in some of the working teams, but if you feel strongly about some of these things and you want to see change, you want to see consistency, you want to see something, come and participate. I can't be your voice. If you tell me you don't like something, I can take it back. But isn't it better if you told people and you saw maybe your design come to fruition, or you added your voice to many others who already support you? So please come. Okay, I've done my sales pitch for. So in this, looking at the area, using the museum, and I don't think I have a pointer, but I think you all know where the museum is in that, and we're looking north to south, mostly west to east is on your left. But thinking about the area, as I mentioned, all the different educational facilities, whether it's UMKC, Rockhurst, KCAI, whether it's the Linda Hall Library, all these things that are right around us, the National Museum of Toys and Miniatures, the Kemper, the H&R Art Block Space, the Nelson Atkins, all our cultural, all our neighborhoods. These are so important to what makes this area so distinctive. We're not the crossroads. We don't want to compete with the crossroads, but we can be another asset of Kansas City. We've got the Country Club Plaza adjacent to us. How do we get all those people who come to Kansas City who say, oh, where's the museum? And we say, it's a quarter of a mile away. We just stopped them from walking three blocks to get here. You know, if we had something that drew them to there visually, so we could connect with all these people who, when they come to Kansas City, and I'm sure all of you have had visitors in the last few years that are blown away by all the resources that we have here, who think this is the most unsung, secret, vital city in the nation right now. And as we know, Huffington Post said it was the coolest for millennials, be that may. All the rest of us who are a little older than millennials already knew that. So in looking at what all our different assets, these concepts came not to build new assets, not to put a science museum, say, which was one of the plans in the 1960s, down the street where, I think it's where the television station is, somewhere down there, on Oak Street, but actually to elevate the visibility of the assets that we already have, to encourage economic development, especially on our east side, to really get a vital and collaborative community going. So the Nelson Atkins hired through, actually it came, the idea came from Benno Schmidt, who was the acting director of the Kauffman Foundation, who actually suggested the New York firm of Weiss Manfredi, a firm that was well known for having used art and architecture to revitalize the community, and I'll show you a little bit about that. But if we look about our connectivity and highlighting what that connectivity would look like, east, west, and north, south, and I'll talk about some nodes that are just being discussed. There could be many more nodes. There could be more partners. So I mentioned Weiss Manfredi. They're a New York firm, but they're probably their most prominent commission that has gotten the most attention is Olympic Sculpture Park in Seattle. They took a relatively small amount of space with a lot of challenges. A waterfront that was in really disrepair was covered in garbage, train tracks, highways, and actually toxic waste, a site that was full of toxic waste. And they transformed it into one of the city's most vital centers by using art, by bridging all these different components like the highway and the train tracks by bringing people. What turned what was before needle exchanges is now vital and very nice apartments, and the whole area is being developed because of this catalyst in the city. And by no means am I saying that we have this kind of problem in Kansas City, so don't read that into it. So it was a 9-acre site, and this just gives you some of the ways that they bridged literally over some of these transportation, important transportation lines through the city, for the city, as well as using art. And it's become a place where there's a farmer's market, there are festivals, there's an event space. It's really turned into a center. Another one of these is Millennium Park in Chicago, that also took railroad yards and transformed it into an incredibly vital part of Kansas City. I mean, of Chicago, not Kansas. Chicago, right next to the Art Museum, the Art Institute of Chicago also benefits with that partnership, and you get a new concert hall there. And of course, the Bean, the Anish Kapoor, where people take selfies all the time. Another idea that has come is the High Line in New York City, which was done in phases, which is something that we're all interested in. We're not just going to do everything at the same time. Done in phases to see its success. This was abandoned infrastructure and of an elevated railroad track. It started in about 15th Street, the abandoned part. It actually went much further in New York, but had been torn down. And then did another section. That was did a section, was very successful. Did another section. Now it runs all the way up to 31st Street and will join up with the Javits Center, which is also going through some revitalization and transformation. This has turned a part of the city which, as I was growing up in New York, we didn't go to Chelsea. It wasn't that nice. Now, more recently, even as the High Line got going, sort of at the, simultaneously, where a lot of galleries moved because the space was cheap and artists lived there. It is now so exclusive that now people have to move out. The artists don't live there anymore. And their new hotels, new apartments, again, a revitalizing part of a city. And people, I was there on a Saturday night this summer at about 11:30 at night. It was packed. Now, do I want that in Kansas City? Not necessarily, but that's New York. And then more recently is what's known as the LID at Clyde Warren Park in Dallas, Texas. And you might be able to see at the sort of the top and the very bottom of the big image that there are 6 lanes of traffic that bisected the city and really created an arts district on one side and businesses on the other. This actually has made this area, joined it, knitted it together so that it could be, again, a very vital part of an active part of the city. So one of the things that not only Weissman Freddy, but all of us took into consideration is all our assets here, the neighborhoods. Each one of these neighborhoods around us has distinct personalities. There is no idea, thought in anybody's head that these concepts would erase that individuality, would make everything homogenous. I've heard somebody said, oh yeah, they're going to build bridges over the neighborhoods. That's not at all. Nobody's ever said that, I can tell you. Really, it is to sort of break down some of the barriers, especially east-west, and be able to strengthen all of our communities, not to make them more broken down, more siloed. We also, as I've mentioned, all the different cultural institutions, and by cultural, we're using that term rather broadly, whether it's MRI Global, which is a nonprofit, really in the technology and science spheres. Again, Kaufman. You can tell I'm tired. And I'm getting over a cold. Sorry, the Kaufman Foundations, Stowers, all these different resources that we have. And then we have an amazing system of parks. And yet, when you think about those parks, how knit together are they? How can you walk from Gillam Park easily into the Kaufman or Tice? How do you link up? We've got real barriers there, and how can we improve those connections? How can we knit those communities together? It's not going to take that much, I don't think. So part of the idea for looking at this is during the museum's development of a strategic plan, which it adopted in April of 2013. It came up through the community. This is, again, listening to our constituents, listening to the people in our neighborhoods, in our communities, say that the museum could be a catalyst for this discussion. It wouldn't necessarily, and it won't, pay for everything, But it could be the beginning. It could start the conversation. And that's where we are. But we've begun the conversation. And so in our strategic plan, there was a goal, an objective, that talked about how the museum was uniquely positioned to do this. The museum is not going to undertake all of these, but it can at least start the conversation. So Weiss Manfredi looked at the at this project and how art can connect to community, how it can be placemaking. If you have art in parks, people will maybe come. If you have spaces for events and have, I see that you have art exhibitions here, those are also can bring new people together, and also how they can be placemaking and markers. I know when I drive down Paseo, I know where I am when I see the colonnade. I know where I am when I see the stoplight in the center. I know where I am, and I don't have to look at the street signs. That's the kind of thing that art and monuments and markers can do for us. Then we can also activate our spaces. We all know all the wonderful Shakespeare, Heart of Shakespeare Festival that takes place in Southmoreland. That shouldn't be the only festivals, and I know people have picnics there, but that's could be a much more active park. Tice Park. Now there's, I don't know what that game is where you get in a bubble and play soccer, but there's games that take place, but through art, through maybe having bathrooms, through making that Tice Park could be a park that you want to sit in and not hang out with geese, but sit out to commune with nature. If we could reduce the number of geese, we would all be happy. These are the little bit more controversial, but also they have been things that just need to be discussed and looked at. In Bentonville, Arkansas, the C21C Millennium Hotel, Museum Hotel, was a catalyst. If any of you have been down to Crystal Bridges, if you went a few years ago, actually when it first opened, you went pretty much as a day trip. Well, because of the 21C Hotel, people are making it a weekend destination or an overnight destination. That elevates the assets of everybody. Small museums get more visitorship. Restaurants start burgeoning. You have more people want to see what you have in your community. So those can be assets, like coffee shops. Very recently, I used to sort of say, I would be coming, I live in Fairway, I would be coming to work, and I had no coffee shop to go to on my way to work. So I'd just go to work, even though I wanted a cup of coffee. Now there's Crow Coffee down on 51st between Oak and Brookside, and now I have a place. So those can be, and I've noticed lots of people have business meetings there, students gather, it's become a center for gathering. So bookstores, which are not really, some of them are dying, but nature, how can we strengthen that? We all know that Brush Creek has its challenges. We also know all the work that's gone in to improve Brush Creek. How can we maybe turn that amphitheater that wasn't so successful, but the geese seem to like, into a place that we want to spend time? How do we turn that into something which really enhances and also restores what was once here? I feel sort of sad when I have to drive to the Flint Hills to see the prairie. I feel like I would like it a little bit closer to me. So this is a slide that some of us really like, because this is the way Weiss Manfredi thinks, with ribbon and pencils and thinking about connectivity. And you'll get sick of me talking about saying that word. As I mentioned before, we've looked at some nodes. There could be many other nodes, but this was the starting point, and I will go through them. There are the 8 rings that we call them, and we'll sort of go through them. I'll start on the west, we'll move east, south, east, and then we'll get to the museum's properties. So, as you know, crossing Main Street at Cleaver is a dangerous and time-consuming endeavor. So this is an idea, again, just an idea of what could happen to improve pedestrians, vehicular traffic, bicyclists, and possibly a streetcar coming into that area. What would that look like? We know that the Nichols Fountain is a gathering point, and how do we make that even nicer, a place to gather? So this was Weiss Manfredi's idea. There have been pushback. We're listening to the pushback. Some people say it's dangerous to take the pedestrians away from the car traffic, that just makes it a highway. That's not good. So again, participate in the conversation so that the things that really get sticky, that get developed. The crossing by the museum, this is the southwest corner of the sculpture park crossing over Cleaver. Probably many of you remember the Dale Eldred sculpture that was there with a mirrored paper. It took me a few years to find out about that project. But again, enhancing our ways, it was a wayfinding, it was a marker that you've arrived at an art museum. If you're standing in the plaza, how do you tell somebody, go down to the, oh yeah, just walk along there and you'll see it after a few blocks. Where is the art museum? So again, placemaking and how we can enhance the medians, how we can make better crossings, so we can make that connection that I don't think I need to get in my car to go to Crow Coffee when it's only four blocks away. And here is a rendering of what that could look like, just as a concept. Tice Park, again, to revitalize it, to make it more of a way to connect across Brush Creek, to connect to UMKC, to again, we don't all know, but the Whole Foods is coming. That is a given. Down on when is anybody's guess, but not anybody's. UMKC is working on it, but that is going to create more traffic, not less traffic. So we need to think about what that would look like if we had bicycle paths, we had better pedestrians, so that we didn't think, oh, well, I'll go down and I'll drive down there and just create more traffic down in that neighborhood, which I don't think needs a whole lot more traffic. But so thinking about those and looking into the future of what that might look like. So here's our rendering. Do we think that there will be kayakers on Brush Creek? Probably not, but in this idea, the water plants clean the water and create another sense of place. It brings ecology and nature back into a space, which, as I say repeatedly, is now taken over by geese. But it preserves our views. It gives us new views. Any of you who have been on top of the Student Center at UMKC have a beautiful view looking north into the up to the museum and also towards Country Club Plaza. So again, this might be in this concept here, which is looking at the UMKC part of it. There is no natural gateway into UMKC. Where is its front door? You know, some universities have big, beautiful gates. Look at even Rockhurst has a, you know where to enter. You don't necessarily. So thinking about what that might be is from a pedestrian point of view, not necessarily from a car point of view, and how that connection. Lots of students live up in this neighborhood, as you know, encouraging them not to drive down there. And they don't want to drive. They've all said not all of them, but many of them said they'd give up their cars. Not their cell phones, but their cars. And so this might be more about branding. This might be more about wayfinding. It might have sculpture that used as wayfinding and branding. Then one of the things that the museum has looked at in both for itself, but also in other communities that have used arts as catalyst, is thinking the museum has its own needs. And those are, we are running out of office space. We've run out of office space. We're running out of art storage space. We're running out of non-art storage space. And if you've ever been over there during a festival, we have no parking. And then we get in your neighborhoods, and you don't like that. So how can some of these things, we have people who have offices in galleries, how can we get more art on view? We have no Islamic art on view. That's not a good thing in the world that we live today. We have people in offices in those gallery spaces. So how can we expand? So one of the ideas is having an outpost that's out in the community. And I mentioned Cleveland. Cleveland has a center that's like a branch, and it uses it both as engaging with the community. We can see we've had actually quite a lot of interest in using that to be an anchor, and actually as part of another community plan, as an anchor on Troost to do economic development, to be a center, to be a real partner, and have a stake in the ground in what's going on to the east of us. So this could be a building. This is just an idea. The museum does not own this land. The museum is just saying this is what could happen. And so there's an empty lot north of the Walgreens on the corner of Brush Creek and Troost. So that's just an idea of what that might be. Going back to Southmoreland Park, Again, using that more frequently, thinking about there's a big grade, it's like being in a canyon in there. As you know, it's right over here. How can we have the students use that? How can we feel safer when we walk through there? I work with people who live to the west of the museum, and I watch them not walk through the park when it's evening, but around it so that they feel safe. This is the rendering of what that might look like. And actually, I believe the Southmoreland neighborhood is already explored, opening up the northern end of the park. Again, many of these are not new ideas, but starting to see whether some of them really can move forward. Then we move to the museum's properties. These are land that the museum already owns. Again, just ideas. I mentioned all the things that the museum looks forward to having to solve in the near and long future. So we need to plan for those things. So one of them is turning the 5 acres that are to our east. One of the things we heard from the community was that the block building was turning its back on the community and was a cold concrete wall. The museum had turned its back, and it was just really not participating. So turning that into an extension of the sculpture park. The sculpture park is also out of room for more art. And so thinking about that, more parking, more art storage could be used. So look at this. And if you look at the bottom of the image, you can see sort of an artist rendering of what that would look like. That would also, let me go back for a second, idea could be to move Rock Hill Road towards the east, so that it is less of a dangerous intersection, maybe put it on a road diet. But we also know that it's a big commuter traffic way. Again, just ideas. Then we move to the north on 45th Street. Again, I told you about the things that the museum looks to having to solve, problems it has to solve as it moves into further into the 21st century. And so these are ideas. An administrative office where we're all together, and we already work in teams and we work collaboratively. We are spread all over the place. And so how would that look? How could we solve these problems? How can we look into the future? So back to our initial slide of connectivity. I'm sure you all want to tell me about how you would solve these problems. I would like you to come to the public charrette. And I should have brought, and I will make sure that I can send it, and you can put it in your newsletter, but the public charrette is at the Bancroft School. It starts at 5:30 on Thursday evening. That's where you can hear where some of the work teams and the ideas that have already been floated, reported. The next day is actually starting to do sort of design drawings, so you can drop in. Nobody expects anybody to spend all the entire charrette there. And then on Saturday is sort of feedback to that, and it's a really as Vicki Notai says, it's a roll up your sleeves and get to work. So you can add your ideas into that day too. So Thursday and Saturday are considered sort of big public participation, but certainly come and see what these ideas could look anytime. So thank you.
Thank you.
Listening to Catherine Footer from the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art talking about the possibility of a Kansas City Cultural District near the Country Club Plaza. You're listening to the All Souls Forum. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with more from the All Souls Forum and our question and answer session right after these messages.
90.1 FM is supported by Folk Alliance International's Wednesday Night Kickoff Party, Wednesday, February 18th. 10 stages of Kansas City area artists, 8 p.m. to midnight in the Westin at Crown Center, including Victor and Penny, John Bell G., The Fantastics, Barclay Martin Ensemble in Madagascar, Kawahi, The Grizzly Hand, Rural Grit, Howard Iceberg, Carswell and Hope, Dollar Fox, AY Music, The Match Sellers, Maria the Mexican, Gracie Schramm, The Blackbird Review, The Hardship Letters, and Bob and Diana Sukiel. That's Wednesday, February 18th, 8 p.m. to midnight, folk.org for all the information.
This is Richard Mabian, and I'm president of the NAACP in Kansas City, Kansas, and I wanted to announce that we're hosting a candidate forum Saturday, February 21st, at 21 North 12th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, and the time will be at 4 p.m. This message of public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Have a little spare time? Always wanted to be in radio? Well, then come on down and get involved in your community radio station, 90.1 FM, KKFI. On the air or behind the scenes, we need your help, and it's lots of fun, too. For more information, call Bill at the KKFI offices at 816-994-7869.
Four very different people share one very significant commonality. They all moved to Switzerland to be with the one they love. On Sprouts, Thursday at noon.
Governors and state legislators are still messing with public education. This week on the Heartland Labor Forum, we'll look at how Kansas and Missouri teachers are fighting back. In Kansas, they're putting on their walking shoes and will march to Topeka to protest Brownback's cuts to public education. Tune in Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's speech on America's chief moral dilemma from May of 1967 on the Thursday night special at 7 p.m., right after the Heartland Labor Forum.
This week on Music City Roots, live from the factory, great bands with great names. Northeast sister duo The Hello Strangers shows their classic country passion with original songs. Loose and easygoing Jamgrass sounds tasty in the hands of Old Salt Union. And soul must be the middle name of rising Memphis blues star John Naiman.
7 years of trouble was my bad luck sign. Just go to show your people how love can make you blind.
Also, Nashville's newest buzz boys of juke joint rock and roll, the Blackfoot Gypsies, close the show with Fire and Distortion. Join me, Craig Havokhurst, and musical host Jim Lauderdale for a wintry mix, the kind you want to be exposed to, this week on Music City Roots.
Saturday morning at 7, right before the Blues Kitchen.
Race relations in the LGBT community on The 10th Voice, Saturday afternoon at 1.
Tune in on Saturday afternoons for real, local, talk radio, community programming. Starting at 3 o'clock p.m., Every Woman with Sharon Lockhart and Amy Bell. 4 o'clock p.m., Urban Connections with Donna Morrow Wolf. 5 o'clock p.m., Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with M.C. Richardson.
Yes, hi, thank you. I want you to know I like the proposal, you know, and I hope it gets executed. I did attend a presentation at the Plaza, and I had understood that Rock Hill would be actually closed at Cleaver for pedestrians to travel. That was not the case.
I think somebody has voiced that. That goes into the mix. So one of the things that happens is people say things, but nobody supports it. So it's written down, it's recorded, that would be an idea. Well, so if it gains it, let's say a lot of people want that to happen, we look into what that would look like.
I don't necessarily drive that long block, but I liked the idea. I did notice all the homes do not front Rock Hill, so I thought it wouldn't be any harm to those homes along there. Anyway, but thank you for the clarity.
Hello, Mr. Mullins.
Good morning, Dr. Futter.
Do you think we've encountered each other before?
I've been very heartened to you by your repeated calls for participation. And so I'd like to share a little participation note that I've had during this past week on this subject and maybe see what your reaction is. You talked about having to go to the prairie. Earlier this week, I was with board members and staff of the Bruce D. Watkins Cultural Heritage Center talking about this and talking about their future. And one of the things that we did was we got into some Parks and Recs all-terrain vehicles and we drove the waterfront from out west where the, or out east rather, all the way to the west side of the plaza and back. So I can report that it's not necessary to go to the plains, and for a walker like yourself, there's a remarkable amount of native prairie and ecology in addition to the civil works of the flood control. And so my question is, up until now, it would appear that there is a sort of a planning boundary at Truce or Paseo, and yet there's a tremendous amount of already invested in potential development along Brush Creek. And so I'm hoping or wondering if the process is moving at a pace that will allow us to go back and revisit that, because I participated in both of the public input sessions, and I think we're still in the input stage, and I wonder if the charrette isn't going to prematurely foreclose that.
I guess I would tell you that nothing is closed, but I think we have heard from you need to go all the way up to the crossroads, or you need to, and I think we want to try to focus well on what we have. And by the way, your point is well taken about there's nature close by, but I would then also say I need to know more about it, and that needs to be, it goes back to our visibility, enhancing what assets we already have. So I agree with that. In terms of the scope of the project, I think what we want to do is try to keep it. There's going to be people who want to participate, and that may be, this may be the catalyst for extending it. I don't think that any one of these projects right now we know the scope of. If that seems waffly, it's because we're still in the planning stages. We're still in the discussion. So if it, Brush Creek, it shouldn't just take one chunk of Brush Creek. It should look at the whole area of it. We should look at what ecology and how that kind of experience might be enhanced. But that's to be determined. That's not my decision.
Thank you for taking the time on this nasty Sunday morning to share this process. I had a statement really about earlier. You said that you wanted the Nelson to kind of invite people from the plaza and other areas around it, mm-hmm. To kind of understand where it is and enjoy its beauty. And you stated that there were conceptually bridges across Maine and Cleaver, etc. I would state that it appears to me that people beget people. So in other words, if we were to focus on the pedestrian movement from the other areas to the Nelson, you know, widen sidewalks, beautification, have art where there are visual sites, right? That would do a lot more than moving people onto bridges to come to the Nelson and jump from neighborhood to neighborhood. It appears to me that if you were to take that concept, it would actually do the opposite of what the goal would be. So I would ask you all to consider that, mm-hmm. as opposed to, at least to the degree that you pointed to, the bridge concept. Thank you.
That is already on the table, and thank you. I will take back that there's another vote for that. Yes, Scott?
Well, I'm on the Southmoreland Neighborhood Association mm-hmm. board, and we've had some discussions in the board, and one of the big questions that keeps on coming up and probably will for a long time is the historic houses to the north of the museum, and you know, this concept shows that they're all taken down. Has the museum been considering any alternatives that might keep those houses standing?
The museum is open to all suggestions. So the idea, the answer is yes. I mean, but I think it is not cemented what we're going to do. We don't know.
Sure.
So if somebody comes up with a great idea how we're going to solve our growth, then we are really open to listen to them. And we want creative solutions. We want to be able to have multiple options. Nobody thinks that this was the only solution. So that's one of the reasons I say come and watch. If you say, I'm making this up because I'm not making it up because I've already thought about it, but say you leave the houses on 45th Street and you build something subterranean and you use those as small exhibition spaces. I'm a decorative arts curator, so I can see small things, but as Scott works on big paintings, sometimes they won't fit in those spaces. But how do we use what we have? I think there's all kinds of creative ways that we can use the assets we have, but we also have to think about what are the things we need. So everything's still open and on the table. This is not a closed subject. This is an open.
One of the first things I always think about is money. And so could you make some comments about what are some of the possible sources of funds? And it seems like it would be an overwhelming amount of money. So can you give some of the ideas you've been having about that?
As I mentioned from the beginning, these are just ideas and they're not designed. So we don't know how much anything costs. That being said, it has been discussed so far that this is going to have to be public-private collaboration in order for these things to succeed. But there's some things that say, for instance, a neighborhood and the parks and a cultural entity could collaborate to make this happen. There are other things that might be purely parks or the city or whoever has to do it. So there, it's going to be a combination of all kinds of things. I think that there are going to be arts leaders, civic leaders, who want to take on part of this and will help to fundraise it. There are going to be other projects that will drop in priority because it's going to be a struggle to get their funding. But we don't know what those projects are yet, so we can't prioritize what those projects are and start thinking about their funding. Was that a sort of wishy-washy answer for that? It's not that this question comes up, and I understand. I mean, I pay taxes here. Do I want to pay for all of this? No. But I also think that there are people who, we can already feel excitement in some people that they can envision this future.
One thing I thought about is putting small parking lots around the area that would let people walk maybe three or four blocks to get to the Nelson, to get to wherever they want to go. It would maybe give people more reason to use another area, too. One thing, though, I'm curious about, would the Nelson be willing to pay to move Rock Hill to gain that space that they own across the street closer?
I am not at liberty to answer that question.
I think I heard you say that some of the students had said they'd be willing to give up their cars. I wondered how much interest from the student body there is, and then, of course, it would take administration, to banish cars from the campus and then do away with this street between us and the Art Institute, mm-hmm. Because we have some open space there on the east side, and it would give us so much more respect for Mother Earth to accommodate what the Earth needs. And my question is, I guess, how much is coming from the students in terms of enthusiasm about some of these ideas?
I'm going to, first of all, great that you want to take care of Mother Earth. I couldn't agree more. And I'll take the idea back about the car ban. I don't know how some of them, I mean, when I went to college, I didn't have a car, and I was out sort of in the middle of nowhere. I used the campus had everything that I needed, or I walked, or I took the campus jitney, or whatever it was. Back to the participation of students. They have been in some of the working teams, and I did a presentation over at UMKC in the architecture and urban design and planning. I always get design and planning mixed up, which one goes first, and there was a lot of enthusiasm. And we realized that students don't necessarily, we're hoping some of them come to the public charrette. All their professors have been contacted to bring them, so we hope they participate, but they may not come to that. So we thought we'd actually have different fora where they could come and we could hear their ideas. I had coffee with a young man who's a bicyclist, and he told me that the museum needed to go under the radar to get this done. And I thought, wow, that's an interesting concept, because that's the way they think, sort of grassroots, basically ask for forgiveness, don't ask for permission. The Nelson Atkins can't go under the radar. It's a little too big. So we know that they're out there, they're enthusiastic, they're very supportive, they've talked about how, and they've talked in front of their professors who don't necessarily agree with them about their future. I asked them when I went to UMKC, how many of you live in the area now, and how many of you can see yourself in 20 years? And I got one hand up that he would move back. And so I asked them why. And one of it was density, it was also about connectivity and transportation.
I'm sure that you have a department that tries to figure out where your visitors come from,
mm-hmm.
your local visitors as well as your out-of-town visitors. However, if a person doesn't buy a ticket for a show or something like that, how do you keep track of what those trends are and plan to try to attract more people from a specific area?
So there's different ways. We have a designated evaluator position, and she has volunteers, and there are, I believe, monthly visitor surveys. Where are you from? Is this your first time? Various basic questions that help us figure out where people are coming from. We like people, even if they're not buying a ticket to an exhibition, to sort of check in so we can find out. Lots of people use use that when they park, so that also helps us. And then there's also various demographics that are telling us through other arts organizations. We're getting more questions, not less. They're just warming up.
What I've been sitting here wrestling with is the beauty of this for the visitor, the tourist, and beginning to weigh that against the advantages for the people who live here. And realize quickly that a real problem is schools. And I'm just beginning to imagine how could this feed to the school issue to do something to bring, if we had a wonderful school in this part of the city as well, what an incredible living space this would be. That may be one of the largest single obstacles to residents here today as opposed to the tourists. So I'm just beginning to chew on that, and it hadn't really hit me until this morning sitting here looking at this.
I think you have a good point.
I'd like to put in a plug in favor of the bridging concept, because I ride my bicycle around the area a lot, and it'd be nice to be able to, lots of access points on and off of it, but to be able to ride a bicycle across the traffic, and also maybe ease out some of the steep hills in the area. For an older bicyclist such as myself, something all the way from Brush Creek up to the Nelson on more of a gradual incline instead of having to deal with the steeper spots. So anyway, I just like the idea of bicycling. Then people can come into the area from lots of different points and go all over it. And I've also noticed there's the rental bike places there at 47th and near Nichols.
And the museum will be getting one of those rental. It's just been where that's going to be placed that keeps getting discussed.
Our church is also in the process of thinking where we want to be in the future and how we want to grow. We've talked about moving. We don't want to move. We've decided this location is fantastic. As you've already observed, we love the arts, natural beauty, Mother Nature. Some years ago when we visited this same idea, we thought, well, maybe we should collaborate with some larger entity, build up, build down. Can't do that on church pledges, even capital fund drives. It'd be strained to do what we imagine might be fantastic. But would it be too thorny a mating dance to just float an idea, probe it a bit with a Nelson? What you say, you need space for offices, storage. What if the church and the Nelson went up and down together? Just an idea for the mix.
That sounds like put it on the table.
Yes, I'm Susan Carlson. I live in Rock Hill. And one of the things I see when I look at what you put up is I think about we have some incredibly vibrant neighborhoods around. We have a lot of pieces that are working.
Yes, we do.
And I really, when I hear about things like possibly removing the houses north of the museum and changing roads around, I hope that there'll be some consideration to how things that are working, why are we messing with those? I think we
absolutely.
Obviously we want to think into the future. We want to have a plan that gets us into the future, but a lot of what I'm hearing today is I'm going to have people walking through my backyard. We're trying to bring the whole city here onto an area that's already working. And people, I haven't heard that the museum's underutilized. We see thousands of people coming in for multiple events. So, yes, make it beautiful, but let's think about it. And I guess the other thing I would say is I'm an academic. When we talk at the university about how to make things work, we usually don't have one person driving it. So I think I'm still having a little worry here that this is really the museum trying to create something. I appreciate that you're talking about a public forum, but I never really know in that power, you know, who has the power. I like equal power. Okay. And I'd like the neighborhoods to have equal power in this.
So I can give you a little bit of reassurance that there are representatives from neighborhoods and some of the institutions who are being kept in the loop as to the developments from the working teams. In fact, there was a meeting of the community leaders the other day, and then this will circle back and up. So there is not, the museum doesn't, it doesn't want to be the only voice. And we can't, UMKC, neighborhoods, everybody needs to be participating and saying, this can't happen in my neighborhood, or this is great in my neighborhood. This is not the museum imposing. If the museum, as I said in the beginning from the strategic plan, was the catalyst, it's unfortunately, for better or for worse, the most visible of all the partners. But there are other supporters of the process, and that's where we are now, which is we have a lot of, if I had brought, and I'm sorry, it's my fault I didn't bring the press release, but if you go to the Nelson Atkins website, you can find the press release for the public charrette, and there are a lot of supporters and sponsors of this effort to get the community to come together. This is, yes, the museum, because it's the biggest and people go to it, but it's not the only people in the mix at all, and will not be, ever.
I'm not a big picture person, so I have a hard time figuring out the value to some of the people in this the neighborhood. For instance, Midwest Research Institute, Stowers, Kaufman, they kind of run on their own. They're doing fine. They don't depend on public visitation. And I'm not quite sure I understand what they would be getting out of this. The other thing that occurred to me is I haven't heard you mention the Missouri Conservation Nature Center on Troost, which seems to me would really benefit from more public awareness. Mm-hmm. So I'd appreciate your comments on those two things.
Okay. Some are going to be more private. I think, say that the Kaufman is interested in community building. They were the ones, the Mayor and Kaufman, putting up the initial money to study this. So they are interested in the benefits to the community, to education, how people, how a city will grow. They're interested in entrepreneurship and innovation. So I think their MRI Global does want to be part of our community, and we've done programming with them and will continue to do so. They have definitely want to be. Stowers, a harder nut to, they may not be at all interested in what goes on around them, but they've been invited to the table many times. And as for the other ones, we need more partners, and we've reached out to some people. They don't have the time or necessarily the interest, but there are people who have to be included in this and will be. And I'm hoping that my feeling is the greater visibility that we get through this morning's editorial, that's a really great thing. It means that this is not something. We've had other people say this is dead on arrival. Why are we even wasting time talking about this? It's gaining some traction, and more people will want to participate if they think that this is viable. Do you want to waste time on something you don't think is going to go anywhere? We're all too busy. So if you think other people and there's momentum, you will join the momentum. So I'm hoping other organizations will join us.
I think it's safe to say that we at All Souls love having the Kansas City Art Institute nearby, and we support it in ways, including giving, in any event, letting them park here for money or not. Could you tell me, please, in what way the Art Institute would benefit from this, if this comes to fruition, what its position is now? And then a second question is, I haven't been to a charrette. If I go, do I speak or do I just observe?
If you go to a charrette, you participate. I mean, on Thursday night, there'll be reports from the spokespeople for the work teams. And then it's roll up your sleeves and participate. It's not observation. As for KCAI, I'm not going to speak about, I'm not a representative for them, but I would say that they are, they have a new interim president who seems interested in discussing these ideas. But what they benefit from this is greater cohesiveness and collaboration with their neighbors, with their community, and with other organizations.
Hi. I live here in the Southmoreland neighborhood, and for 3 years I didn't drive a car because this is a very walkable neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I have to agree with a couple of the other people that didn't like the idea of the bridges, because I think it's very important if you're walking to be on the street and on the trails and really in the neighborhood, because once you get up above it, you're cut off from the neighborhood. Also, as an environmentalist, I know that buildings consume half of all of the energy that we use in this country. And the Discovery Center is a perfect example of the kind of building and development we need to have in order to be sustainable. So I would like to see a greater collaboration between the Discovery Center and this whole project. And I'd also like to know what the Nelson's plans are as far as, I mean, I love the block building. It's beautiful at nighttime when it's lit up. It just kind of, you know, makes me feel good. But at the same time, I see a lot of energy being consumed there. So I'd like to know what plans the Nelson has to become more sustainable from an energy standpoint, and whether they would be consider some of the land use ideas that the Discovery Center is trying to promote.
We're going to need to have a quick answer to this.
Well, there is a quick answer to this, okay. Which is I don't know what the plans are. I mean, I will say that I would think that as we move forward, that would be a sustainability and energy consumption. It was part of the block building, and but we can always do a better job. And we also always look into the new projects would have better carbon footprint. I agree with you that architecture is. But I, again, all ideas are on the table. There are no, you know, you say that you don't like the bridges. That's fine. That, again, needs, I will be your conduit. But if you have, you want to say, but I like this and I want enhanced sidewalks and you want to participate in that, that's fine. I don't participate in the charrette. I only can take back what you told me, and that's not the best impact of your ideas, let me put it that way. So thank you, and I will go in and listen and try to answer questions as best I can.
Okay, thank you very much.
You've been listening to Catherine Footer from the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, talking about the possibility of a Kansas City Cultural District around the Nelson. This program was recorded on Sunday, February 1st of 2015 at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church. This program is edited and produced each week by Barry Lee. Thank you to Rita Norton of All Souls for help in producing this weekly show. The music you're hearing in the background is composed and performed by Kansas City artist Fred Potter. Tune in again next week for another All Souls Forum right here, same time, same place. And indeed, you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.